You are listening to Article 5, an audio drama by Steve Stranoff. This is Episode 1, Who is Victor Mentry? Narrated by the author. To most people, Article 5 wasn't a thing, until suddenly it was. At a Super Bowl party in suburban USA, guests sit in couches and folding chairs in front of a big screen TV. Food is on the dining table in the background and beer flows freely.
Touchdown from 38 yards away, and the rout continues. So far, it's been all Steelers.
Hey everyone, another plate of nachos is out of the oven. Come and get it.
I'm all over that. They're at their best when they're hot.
Hey Henry, where's your recycling?
Hillard throws the interception to Lance Gilden. And the Steelers get it back at the Detroit 27.
Maybe they should hang a big sign on Detroit's receivers. Hillard can't seem to tell a difference.
It's a quarterback draw. He runs into the end zone. Touchdown. Detroit gets it out to the 25. The Steelers have a solid steel defense. Nowhere to throw. That pitch to Craig moves the Steelers to the 6, and that's the end of the third quarter. Pittsburgh Steelers 41 and Detroit Lions 10. More after the break.
Oh, coming up on some ads. Gotta hope they're more interesting than the game, am I right?
When the founders of this great country wrote our Constitution, they knew it would need amendments from time to time to fix problems or keep up with the times. That's why they included Article 5. Until now, only Congress has used this power. But now it's time for we the people to use it. Talk to your state legislator. Article 5, an idea whose time has come.
That's it? Somebody paid $3 million for that?
Now, that's a mystery.
Not the first time I've heard that. I was in D.C. a few weeks ago, and every transit bus in the city had an ad on it. Article 5, an idea whose time has come. I don't even know what the idea is, much less the time.
You know, I go to Manhattan 3 times a year to see my daughter. I saw the same thing on one of those scrolling billboards on the side of a skyscraper.
Anybody know who's flooding the zone with this stuff? Or what it's for?
Nope. Your guess is as good as mine.
Not a clue.
Well, whoever it is sure has some serious cash.
In her home studio, video podcast pro Kay Lee wears headphones and smiles confidently into the camera.
Today's episode of Where Are They Now podcast is a bit different. Our subject hasn't been seen or photographed for 10 years, in spite of being number 12 on Forbes' list of richest people, a titan of the business world, and a deep pockets donor to political causes. His name is Victor Mentry. Mentry Industries is the third largest privately held company in the U.S. Here's a photo of young businessman Mentry from Biz Star magazine when he was around age 35. Before he disappeared, there was no shortage of coverage of his extravagant lifestyle. Here he is a few years later with movie star Alana Joyeux entering a glittering society ball in New York. His brief and rocky marriage to fashion model Gisele Fontaine and their scorched earth divorce were in the headlines for months. Look at this screenshot from CelebrityScandal.com with the headline, "It's over, Victor free. Gisele flees to France with baby." The photos below of agitated Victor and his crying wife tell the story of the ultimate emotional toll. Now we see him on this massive yacht, populated with beautiful people partying down in the tropics. The young woman in the bikini he has his arm around was only the latest of his endless parade of high society female companions. This newspaper photo of Victor in front of his business headquarters in Milwaukee was believed to be his last image before he disappeared from public life. But in an exclusive scoop, Watt Now obtained cell phone video filmed about 6 months after that photo. Along with his business chops, Victor is, or was, an avid outdoorsman traveling the world in search of adventures like climbing a series of the highest mountain peaks. The video we obtained was recorded in Nepal at an unnamed climbing base camp. As our video starts, Victor walks through the camp as he's filmed by another climber. He's loaded down with a huge pack, climbing gear, and oxygen. In the background, you can see Sherpas, gear, and tents everywhere. Here, he turns around with a grin and gives a thumbs up to the camera, then heads off to a waiting group as the video stops. In a few seconds, the video restarts and we see the real last glimpse of Victor Mentry.
Now what the hell is this? That's Victor and he doesn't have his gear. Is he wobbling?
Hey Victor, what happened? Are you okay?
Yeah, just a med check. I'll be back on the mountain tomorrow.
Victor grew the family business he inherited from his father from hundreds of millions to billions of dollars, and it's as strong as ever. His political reach is legendary. But now he's a ghost. Much too tempting for Watt Now. We had to track him down. So co-opting the staff was hopeless, spy gear was useless, and staking out the road from his mansion was the most boring job ever. We tried one last idea, flying a drone over his estate in Wisconsin. Here's what we got with the drone, along with my unfiltered recorded comments. We can see the Mentry Mansion on the screen. It looks like a huge fortress on the shores of Lake Geneva. The grounds are impeccable, filled with fountains, gardens, and statuary. Now we'll fly a little lower as we approach the residence. Cross the driveway. Oh shit, we lost the video! Now we're driving toward the mansion with the camera rolling to try to get our drone back. Looks like we have a welcoming committee. A big buff guy in a black suit is standing by the driveway and he's holding our drone. We can see a gun under his suit coat. Now he's knocking at the window.
You seem to have misplaced this. Have a nice day.
That drone was dead ass dead. Every piece of electronics, the camera and motors destroyed. The repair guy said something about EMP, whatever that is. But we got the message. On a personal note, this will be my last episode of What Now podcast. I've accepted a job in the newsroom of a public radio station in Nevada and will be focusing on that full time. But my partner Craig will be back next week with the secret life of Belinda Waller, former star of the Ahoy the House reality show. Where are they now?
Outside a modest Reno condominium complex, Kevin Fortuna sits on his tiny outdoor patio scrolling through his phone. His business trademarks are usually expensive suits, $600 shoes, and carefully styled hair. In today's Nevada heat, he sits with an open shirt and no tie. He has never had a visitor here. Ozzie Hightower is on a sidewalk nearby, looking for the right unit. He's tall and skinny, his hair white. He cultivates a man-of-the-people look with his golf shirt and red-rimmed glasses.
Mr. Fortuna.
Yes?
I'm Ozzie Hightower, former senator from Nebraska. Wonder if I could have a few minutes of your time to chat.
Oh, of course, Senator. Come around to the entrance and I'll buzz you in.
How can I help you today, Senator?
I appreciate it if you call me Ozzie. I understand you like to go by Fort.
That's right, Ozzie. What's on your mind?
I'm here at the request of a very important client. He's intrigued with your work on the rougher side of politics and thought you might be interested in doing some work for him. I understand you recently parted company with Congressman Sherman White and that you might have some time available.
Both true. You seem to know a great deal about me.
In keeping with his need for security, my client did some due diligence. He's familiar with your role in getting White elected and believes these skills might be of value to him. Are you interested?
That kind of work is exactly what I do. I'm the best there is. My rates reflect that, of course.
Your rates won't be an issue. My client would like to meet you in person. He's located in Wisconsin and will fly you there on his jet. I warn you that you will be required to sign to an onerous non-disclosure agreement before you meet or discuss any work. I have been authorized to tell you his name, Victor Mentry.
Victor Mentry?
I see you've heard of him. I'll see myself out for it. Nice meeting with you.
Wait. I need background. Nobody's seen or talked to Mentry in years.
I have. You'll get your instructions.
The entrance foyer of the Mentry Mansion is like a museum, but devoid of people or signs of occupation. Classical Greek statuary, exquisite decorative moldings, filigrees, and ceiling art capture the eye. In the distance, a pair of columns frame an elaborate door. As Fortuna enters, a video screen comes to life, showing a receptionist.
Welcome, Mr. Fortuna. Please put your phone and any other electronics or weapons in the lockbox under this screen. Keep the key and walk down the hallway. The door will open, and I'll meet you there. Please come with me. Please wait in here. Someone will be with you shortly.
Thank you.
Might as well look around. Nice place. Big. Must seat 40 or 50. Kinda stark compared to the lobby. Yeah, well, at least it has a bar. What's in the fancy box? Looks like the Declaration of Independence. Oh, there's a plaque. Dunlap Broadside, printed July 4th, 1776. Holy God.
It's priceless, Mr. Fortuna. Sorry to startle you. There were only 200 copies printed. Only 25 are known to exist today. Welcome. I'm Gunter Hale, Mr. Mentry's assistant and attorney. There are some things I must go over with you before you meet Mr. Mentry. If you please take a seat, we can get started. In front of you is a non-disclosure agreement. Look it over carefully. It's critically important.
Oh, I've signed dozens of NDAs over the years. Never been an issue.
This goes well beyond those. Virtually everything you see and hear in dealing with Mr. Mentry is confidential. The penalties for disclosure are severe, and we enforce them in the most stringent manner possible. Do you understand?
Of course. Not a word about anything I see or hear.
We can search your person and confiscate electronic devices or weapon. Eviction from the premises would be immediate and forceful, but the NDA enforcement would be worse. You were scanned on your way in and are monitored for electronic emissions. Mr. Mentry values privacy above all else and will use any means necessary to preserve it. Do you want to go forward?
I'd like to hear what Mr. Mentry has to say.
Very well. He will be with you in a few moments. I'll take my leave for now, but we will talk some more.
Tony, the security director who handled the drone incident, enters and stands at parade rest beside the door.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Victor Mentry enters in an electric wheelchair. His features vaguely resemble the old pictures. He's strapped in, his head slumped over at an angle, and his body desiccated from the ravages of disease. His forehead is wrinkled as though concentrating intently.
I am Victor Mentry. Forgive me for not shaking hands. It's been long since I could do so.
Of course, sir. An honor to meet you.
You find my appearance shocking. I have ALS, a disease of the nervous system, Lou Gehrig's disease. I was diagnosed 9 years ago. I am lucky. Few people with advanced ALS can speak unaided. I have to think about each word, so my speech sounds as it does. The rest of me, not so lucky. Paralyzed. Electrodes in my brain control my chair. Stephen Hawking survived for over 50 years with ALS, but my time is nearly up. It's an effort to speak, and I have much to say. Let's talk business, Mr. Fortuna.
Of course. I see your effort to speak, sir. I'd appreciate it if you called me Fort.
You know of anacondas, Fort? Giant snakes. I once saw one squeeze the life from a jaguar. They eat and grow, and never stop growing. Can be as long as a city bus. That's our federal government. Grown to monstrous size. Appetite never satisfied. Squeezes for taxes and eats the results of our hard work. Lords over the land and controls all that happens. The people bow. There can be no freedom with such a master. 9 years ago, I started a plan to starve and tame this beast. Now it's urgent. I've spent a fortune in my last years on this earth to make the world safe for liberty. I won't live to see it grow, but I wish to see its birth. I ask a favor of you, Fort.
What can I do for you, Mr. Mentry?
Go to the frame on the wall. Read aloud.
From we hold these truths.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it.
You can stop there. I believe those words to my bones. Not to abolish government, only to restore it to the vision of its founders. People free to make their own choices, responsible for their actions. It says deriving powers from consent of the governed. But ours long since lost our consent. We've forgotten how to be free. Government should keep the peace, stop force and fraud, allow peaceful, honest pursuits, maintain free markets. Instead, it's 40% of GDP, 80,000 pages of regulations. Our plan will break its grip, starve it down to size. But my time is running out. You're here to carry on. You can't be a wimp and tame the snake. Gunter's smart and loyal, but doesn't have what it takes. Secret networks, propaganda, contributions, bribes, dirty tricks. You must man up to use these tools. Are you such a man, Fort?
That's my specialty. You believe in individualism, the sanctity of private property, free markets. You can't see those beliefs catching on with our government, and neither can I. It's been taken over by tax and spend liberals building towards socialism. We must return to the principles of liberty and limited government set down by the founders.
I thought you might say something like that. My field team described you as quite a capitalist.
With no apparent summons, Gunter suddenly reappears and takes a seat near Mentry.
Part of my project is Article 5. Have you heard of it, Fort?
It would be difficult to live in the U.S. and not hear of Article 5.
It is the key. We must do everything to further a convention. I rest now. Gunter will speak for me.
Of course. Thank you, Mr. Mentor.
Let us get straight to the point, Mr. Fortuna. Article 5 says that 2/3 of the states together can apply to Congress for a convention for the purpose of proposing amendments. There have been hundreds of such applications, but Congress still hasn't made the call. We need a law to force a response and rules to keep it on track. For that, we need a congressman, your Congressman Sherman White. The bill must be introduced and passed quickly. For various reasons, none of our people are in a position to do that. White seems to need a new patron. Do you think he might help?
Well, that's a tough one, Gunter. White made some errors in judgment. The election is coming up soon, and he looks to lose decisively.
We are willing to spend whatever it takes. Unlimited. Can you rescue White, and would he be grateful?
Yes, and yes. With unlimited money, the improbable becomes easy, and the impossible merely difficult. It's what I do.
Excellent. After the bill is introduced, it must make it through Congress in record time. Every congressman that owes us his job and every call that can be made on the back of our campaign money is focused on this bill. Our lobbyists have no higher priority. No senator can pick up his phone without a donor demanding it. After it's passed, our focus will turn to the states. 32 states have old applications that will be valid under the new law. We need two more. Thanks to our messaging, the people are demanding a convention. The states are salted with potential delegates who are true believers or owe us enough to keep them in line. Our Kessel group is pushing our preferred amendments. With me so far, Mr. Fortuna?
I get the concept. Seems like you've got it sewed up.
Mr. Mentri's only son has a natural foods collective on Maui. He's barefoot most of the time. They haven't spoken since he told Mr. Mentri that any money left to him would be given away, and that he'd give the company to its employees. So Mr. Mentri's only legacy will be from this convention. History will remember him as the hero who showed us the way to freedom. He wants you to be the fixer to make it happen in the States. Buy support if you can, but be prepared to do whatever it takes.
One question, Gunter. Which two states do we need?
New Mexico will pass its resolution very soon. Then we need Nevada this year. If we miss, it'll be 18 months before we can try again, and the clock will have run out on this dementory. Good night, Mr. Fortuna. Tony will show you out.
Two friends exit the Blue Cafe in Carson City to the nearly empty parking lot. Dina Justin is petite, early 30s, attractive, a hard body in her signature black professional outfit. Under her blazer is a small revolver, a legacy of earlier violence. Laura Dingle is mid-30s, attractive, stylish, and street smart. Laura climbs in her yellow Jeep Wrangler and drives off with her usual flair.
See you later, Dee!
See you later, Al.
As Dina approaches her car, a BMW sports car cuts her off. She leaps back and her hand drops to her gun.
You won't be needing that.
What the hell do you want, Fort?
I just want to talk for a few minutes. How about getting in the car, where we can talk in private?
How about you get out of the car and talk in the open, or I'll bust your head if you get out of line.
Congratulations on your election to the Nevada Assembly. I guess everything worked out.
I heard you went back east somewhere. I can't tell you how disappointed I am that you're here. So stuff it, Fort. What is it you want?
To bury the hatchet. I'm sorry about the way things went down. I'd like us to be on at least civil terms.
You've got some nerve. After everything you did, it takes some cojones to talk about being civil.
Not me. Hobel had your apartment trashed. That wacko sheriff tried to kidnap you. I had nothing to do with it.
You're going to tell me that you weren't involved in harassing my campaign? Your bread and butter?
Well, I may have advised him a little, but that's politics, not crime. If you're going to stay in this business, you better get used to it. What you got was just a taste.
That sounds like a threat, Fort. I don't respond well to threats.
Not a threat. Just free advice to a newcomer in the business. You should be less touchy, Dina. You'll deal with lots of people who play hardball. That ninja stuff won't get you very far in politics. Powerful friends can get you somewhere.
I don't need friends like you, Kevin.
Just one more thing, then. As time goes on, we may meet again. If you stay in politics, those ironclad ethics of yours are going to slide away one by one until you're just like us. Otherwise, your career will die, because politics is all about power. I make a better friend than an enemy. Keep that in mind.
You know what, Fort? They say the same thing about me.
In a glass-walled studio, Kay Lee works at her new job as a TV newscaster in Nevada.
On Friday, Nevada Representative Sherman White unveiled a bill called the Article 5 Convention of the States Procedure Act, or COSPA for short. The subject is a convention called by the states to propose amendments to the Constitution. A convention like this has never been tried before, and the Constitution doesn't say much about how it would work, so the bill fills in some gaps. Importantly, it sets out rules for validating state applications that determine when the two-thirds threshold for calling a convention has been met. Other guidelines deal with selection of delegates, proposing amendments, and timing. An influential dark money nonprofit called Article 5 Alliance is pushing Congress to expedite the bill. It's popular in the House and is likely to pass in the Senate. The president has not taken a position. White was recently reelected by a razor-thin margin in his Nevada district. We reached the congressman by video at his office in the Capitol. Congressman White, can you tell us why this bill was your top priority?
Congress has ignored every application for a convention. It's time for us to step up to the plate and tell the states how they can get the convention they and their citizens demand. The idea is on fire in the states. The House and Senate can no longer stand by against the unified voice of the people.
The effort was applauded Friday by Article 5 Alliance spokesperson, former Nebraska Senator Ozzie Hightower. We reached him at rental offices of the Alliance in New Mexico, where the state legislature is currently debating the issue of an Article 5 convention. Senator Hightower, can you tell us why your group favors this bill and the idea of an Article 5 convention?
With this bill, Congress is finally listening to demands for a convention from across America. Now just two more states will result in a convention. The people know that it's the only way to relieve the painful constipation of the U.S. political system. We, the people, have made our voices finally heard.
What's the next step if the COSPA bill is passed?
The amendment process is defined in Article 5. Until now, Congress has proposed all 27 amendments with a two-thirds majority vote in both chambers. Since Congress can't agree on much of anything these days, there is another way, a convention of the states. Proposed amendments must still be ratified by three-quarters of the states, but at least we'll get off the dime and do something. It's our patriotic duty.
Dina lives with her fiancé, Mikhail Chudak, in a luxurious house on the shore of Lake Tahoe. When not in his California office or traveling the world for business, he works out of his home office suite.
Come in. Hey, this is a welcome surprise. You usually avoid this dungeon I work in.
Let's see now. Big fancy office, fine furniture, panoramic view of Lake Tahoe and half of the Sierra Nevada mountains. Everybody should have such a dungeon. I've been thinking about some things, and I want to talk. Is this a good time?
For you, any time is a good time.
Fortuna hunted me down in Carson this morning. Said he wanted to bury the hatchet. The past is the past, that kind of crap. He wouldn't give me the time of day unless he wanted something. I'm at a loss as to what.
The only thing I can think of is your new position as assemblywoman, though I can't imagine what he thinks he'll get from that. Be careful. We can't prove he was behind any of the nastiness of the past few months, but I wouldn't put anything past him.
Oh, he doesn't worry me much. He's no physical threat, and I'm a lot more diligent now. It's just that the guy is a corruption magnet. I ran for the assembly on a promise to stop people like him. Guess we'll just have to wait and see what he's up to.
Okay, what else is on your mind?
I've been living here for a few months now, most of the time campaigning. With the orientation, training in Vegas, and the academy in Carson, I'll be lucky to see you Christmas Day. The session starts in February, my mailbox is already full, and I haven't even been sworn in yet. Once the session starts, it gets worse. 1,000 pieces of legislation in 120 days. Meanwhile, I won't make enough money to pay for my own coffee. Then I skip a year till the next session, while making even less money.
I'm not hearing anything we didn't know going into this.
Okay, here it is. I feel like I'm freeloading. And I'm concerned I'll hardly have any time to see you. Are you still okay with this arrangement?
This assembly seat is a stepping stone. I'm convinced you'll go on to do great things someday, but you need to pay your dues. I can easily make sure you don't even have to think about money.
I owe a lot to this country, so I'll sacrifice my time with you while you serve, but only if you want it.
I suppose you're right. I don't see that I have anything all that special to offer. But maybe in 5 or 10 years I can make a real difference, and it'll be all worth it.
The third floor Nevada Legislative Conference Room is easily big enough to hold 20 people in business wear engaged in a lively meet-and-greet breakfast, plus a classroom-style array of tables and chairs. Dina, a consummate networker, starts right in greeting a few people she knows and introducing herself to those she doesn't.
I'm Jeremy, Assembly District 6. Nice to meet you, Dina. You must be the most famous freshman assembly member ever after you savaged that kidnapper and put Congressman White on blast. Really, you're the go.
I'm beginning to wonder if my self-defense skills are the only subject people are interested in.
It's valid. You can't blame people for being interested. What got me, though, was your expose on White's corruption. Being in different parties, we probably won't share many policy positions. But fighting corruption's a theme I can get behind. If you ever need an ally in that fight, I'm in. No cap.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy. Not sure how my assembly seat goes there, but if it does, I appreciate your support.
Hi, I'm Nate Sylvester. I'm one of the presenters today, since this is my second term in the Senate. My subject is how to manage the day-to-day demands of the job.
It's a big worry, so I'll be paying close attention. Your district is South Las Vegas, right? My parents live there. I know it well.
Fun conversation for later. We can compare notes on bars and casinos and such. I saw your interview on Patty Short's show back in June. It took a lot of guts to do that, and I couldn't agree more with your stand on corruption. When I got into politics, what I really wanted was to be in Congress. These days, I couldn't handle the graft, the incessant fundraising, or the gridlock. Something's gotta give.
Sounds right. If people would just wake up and look around, we could, you know, vote the rascals out.
I like the thought, but that saying dates from the 1870s, and it still hasn't gained much traction.
Don't give up. Maybe someday we'll find a way out of this swamp to higher ground. I bet the flashing lights mean it's time to start. For now, I guess we've got our state jobs to do.
Stay in touch. If I can help you get the lay of the land here in the legislature, let me know. I've been around long enough to know some things. I'll be on the Senate side. Blue carpet.
It's a red carpet for me. Good talking to you, Nate.
Welcome to your Nevada Legislature orientation. Congratulations on winning your elections. You're now part of a tradition of service to your state that extends back to the Civil War. I'm the director of the Legislative Council Bureau, or LCB. Our job is to support you, our elected legislators. One aspect of that is to provide...
In spite of generous space and a plethora of rooms in a Tahoe house, Dina and Mikkel's favorite spot is a cozy breakfast nook with a window seat in the bay window near the dining room.
Looks like that storm last night dumped a lot of snow. The mountains are gorgeous this morning. I bet the skiers are happy.
Oh, this should be interesting. From the Speaker's office, it's my committee assignments.
Committee assignments?
That's where I'll be spending a lot of my time. Bills get referred to the committees, and we hold hearings. We get testimony, deliberate. Then we recommend to the Assembly that they pass, amend, or kill the bills by postponing them.
A committee can kill a bill? Didn't know they had that kind of power.
Oh, yeah. Want to know how much power a legislator has? Just look at what committees they're on.
Well, open the message. Let's see what you got.
Looks like I got Judiciary, Health and Human Services, and Legislative Operations and Elections. From what I've heard, that's not a bad haul, especially since I'm not a party favorite. The first two will keep me busy, but I can't imagine anything real exciting coming out of Legislative Operations and Elections.
In the Mentry Mansion conference room, Fortuna enters, escorted by Tony. He's confident and in control. He takes a seat near Gunter and Mentry.
Hello, Fords. You are sure about Khan? Tell me.
New Mexico is a done deal. All we need now is Nevada, and it'll be game on. The latest straw poll says 16 of the 21 senators are yes votes. The assembly is trickier. A few Democrats buy into a balanced budget amendment, but other ideas don't resonate at all. Will the BBA give us what we need?
We've got it covered. Lots of states have only BBA application.
I'll take your word for it. The committee we have to clear is Legislative Operations and Elections, and it's a toss-up right now. We're lobbying with everything we have. Opposition is focused on risks.
We know advertising. Change minds. Sell products.
Same old story. Simple messages, no complicated fact. Appeal to emotions, not logic. Use slogans and sound bites. Their every wish will come true. These are desperate times, and we alone can fix it. Repeat over and over again. If there's disagreement, distract and demonize the detractors.
That works great for the masses. The committee is more skeptical. Maybe constituents will push them along.
Many believe in need for Khan. They demand it. More work to do. Keep Nevada in line, whatever it takes.
Of course, whatever it takes. Here's the deal, Gunter. As we speak, Hightower is trying to rope in the members of the committee. One of them is a woman I know well. She's always trouble and has caused me grief in the past. I wouldn't be surprised if she interferes.
You have a plan to prevent such a calamity?
Of course. Have one of your castle people approach her with a soft sell. If that doesn't work, her boyfriend is a wheeler dealer businessman. Made a lot of money on startups and acquisitions. A billionaire, but barely. Do some research. Make a plan to throw sand in his business gears. Use your imagination. I want him so busy, she can't get a goodnight kiss. If you take a couple zeros off his net worth, that'd be a bonus.
I see. When do you want to start?
On the sly? Right now. But no guns blazing until Hightower and Castle finish their pitch. I want to see this guy brought down a few notches, but I don't want to waste any effort.
That concludes episode 1 of the Article 5 audio drama. Episode 2 is on the way. Thank you for listening.